Good morning. As usual, I invite you to engage with me as I preach, either with answering a question out loud that I pose, or, hey, if you like it, give an amen. And I just want to pray also. Lord, would the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So this is your first chance to participate. How many of you like going to class reunions? Anyone? About two people, four, okay, five maybe. Five out of 45 or 50 of you here. I really don't. Especially since my best friend from childhood died in 2021. Debbie was my friend since the fourth grade, and we both loved playing sports together, and that's how we bonded. Now, last year was my 40th high school reunion in Portland, Oregon, but without Debbie, I didn't want to go and didn't work with my calendar anyway. But I wasn't really close with friends in high school, so that was only Debbie was my friend in high school that I really was close with. And my elementary school, on the other hand, that was kindergarten through eighth grade. We were with each other for quite a while. At least most of them were. I came in at fourth grade, but those are the friends. Those are the ones you grew up with, you were in the neighborhood with, you palled around with. And those are the people that I would want to get together with if they had a reunion. Those are the ones that I would want to see. Well, one of those friends contacted me and asked to get together last July when I was up in Portland. And I hadn't seen her since our 20th high school reunion. And anyway, we went to lunch together with another friend. And as moms do, we started talking about our families. And my friend Fatima said that when one of her sons was getting bullied at school, she encouraged him by pointing out that bullies can turn into friends. Then she looked at me and said, Gail, I used you as an example. I actually was shocked. I didn't know she thought that I had bullied her. I didn't threaten or hit her. That's what bullies do, right? I know that I was annoyed by her, and I teased her, and I was mean. And my adult self knows that teasing is a form of bullying. But my 11 or 12-year-old self was either unaware or most likely didn't care that I was hurting her. Despite that, Fatima and I became friends in either 7th or 8th grade. I can't remember. Hence her use of me as an example to her son. Now hold on to that story for a moment and we'll return to it. Today's gospel lesson begins after John baptized Jesus, reluctantly. Let's go back for a moment. John the Baptist's entire mission in life was to point people to Jesus. He offered a baptism of repentance, but he knew Jesus did not need to be baptized. He thought it should be actually the other way around. Jesus had no sin, but in obedience to Jesus' request, and to fill all righteousness, John baptized Jesus. Now, I would like you to imagine yourself into that scene. There at the Jordan River, watching the crowds going down to John. Can you see that in your mind's eye? Just thousands of people. Would you stay on the shore watching? Or would you go down to the river? Would you think you needed to repent? My 12-year-old self surely didn't think she needed to repent, but my 58-year-old self felt horrible. I was ashamed. I'm sitting there at lunch and they're carrying on with the conversation, and I'm just waiting anxiously for a lull so that I can apologize. I said, I'm so sorry for how I hurt you, and I hope that you'll forgive me. She was very gracious, and she said she forgave me long ago. But then she acknowledged that she knew my need to apologize. She understood that need to apologize. And I tell you this because it's not just kids who don't realize the effect their actions have on others. And there are people who have never consciously realized that they sin and that they have sin has consequences. Seriously. In Israel's history, there are many prophets who called the people to repent for one thing or another, trying to bring them back to obedience to Yahweh. They understood what John was doing. But I would say not so in our time. Here's an example. At my clergy deanery meeting this past Thursday, one of the priests was telling about taking his kids out to the Oceanside Pier after church. Apparently, they busk over there. The kids are very talented. And they made $450 in 1.5 hours of busking. I thought, boy, what am I doing as a deacon? Anyway, that's off topic. But he reported that he heard two adults speaking as he was walking by, as you hear conversations. You know how that is sometimes. You just overhear. And one man asked the other one if he had heard of repentance. The second man said no, he hadn't. And the conversation continued. So when you are tempted, when I'm tempted to judge someone, either in my mind or openly, we need to stop. That's not a strategy to bring anyone to Christ. Instead, let's learn a better way from our gospel lesson today. So, would you stay on the shore watching, or would you go down to the river? Like I said, my adult self, I imagine I would have joined the baptism line and waded right into the water. And how do I know this? Because the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave me as a gift revealed to me that I sin. Hello? Anyone else? Okay. And I fall short of the glory of God with my husband, with my family, with my friends, with my colleagues, and with strangers. But thankfully, I know what it feels like to have my sins forgiven. Nothing feels better. My favorite day is Ash Wednesday. I don't think many people say that. But really, I love that service. When I repent, I'm made clean and I'm free, at least for that moment, till I sin again. But the Lord's always there. I can repent again. So beginning in John at verse 32, it says, John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. This is what John proclaimed, and this is what his disciples heard. Like I said before, John was always clear about his identity and his purpose. He was not the Messiah. Jesus was the one. He pointed out Jesus to two of his disciples and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And those two disciples knew exactly what John meant. Jesus was the one they should follow. Jesus was to be God's Lamb, sinless, without blemish, whose sacrifice would take away sins once for all. And they immediately followed Jesus. Jesus saw them following him, and he asked, what are you seeking? They asked him, where are you staying? I'm at verse 39. He said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. for it was about the 10th hour, which is 4 p.m. In other words, it was getting late. One of the two who heard John speak and follow Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I love this. Come and you will see. Jesus didn't turn around and say, listen, I've already had a long day. I'm hungry. Quit stalking me. No, it's not what he did. These were two seekers. As disciples of John, they already responded to the Holy Spirit by seeking a baptism of repentance. And now they were obedient when John pointed them to Jesus. The two men, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and the other unnamed disciple, stayed with Jesus that day. We don't know what happened to these men as they listened to Jesus. So here's where you can participate again. Any thoughts about what would happen if you went and spent a few hours with Jesus? Ernie? It would be a blessing. You'd learn. Yep, you'd learn. Well, we know this time must have been very meaningful and powerful because of the result. Continuing in verse 41, Andrew first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Yeah, you don't go get your family if you don't think it's important. Now, there's the best missional strategy you can adopt. Bring someone to meet Jesus. I'll talk about this in a minute. Verse 42. Then Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. And Peter means rock. When you meet Jesus, he gets to change your identity. For example, you might change from a bully to a friend. Now, Debbie's mom, the one I was friends with for a long time, when she heard I was going to be ordained a deacon, she laughed. And she said, "I didn't see that coming." Well, every year, your clergy have to fill out a very in-depth form about our personal life, and it's called Refresh. It's designed to help us reflect on our lives and our ministry, and it asks questions like, how would you describe your spiritual walk? Dry? Refreshing? Fulfilling? You know, and then there's, you know, fill-in-the-blank questions and short-answer questions. And one of the questions on the form is, under the category, your social life. We have to identify a new friendship that we initiated with someone in the past year. Let me ask you, can you identify a new friend you've made in the past year? I know Leah can. Leah's all about that. But that is the best missional strategy you can have. I suggest you make a friend without having any other agenda but to be a good friend to that person. You don't have to talk about Jesus. You don't have to invite them to church. Just do friend things. What activities do you like to do with your friends? Shout it out. Games? Xbox? Go to lunch? Eat? Exactly. Walk? I like to also play board games. Oh, I like to play volleyball and sports. Yep. And I like to make s'mores, Father Larry. Square s'mores, that's right. Well, In our world right now, loneliness is rampant, and COVID has made it even more so. And personal relationships like friendships are really key. Being a good friend means being an encourager. Saying in words or actions, I believe in you. You can do this. So on Friday, when I came home, partway through the day, Grace met me with a look on her face that meant she was going to ask me something, which she did. Grace, my daughter. And she asked me if I, Grace just got a super cute pixie haircut. She went from having longer hair to a cute pixie haircut. And she really investigated where to get her haircut by a guy who was a specialist in doing pixie haircuts. And she paid good few dollars for that haircut. So her asking me to trim her hair, I was terrified. I'm thinking, what am I, this girl's going to end up, no. So I think she saw the look on my face, and anyway, but I agreed. She said, it's okay, Mom. Anyway, we got out there, put on the apron thing, we're out there, I started to trim her hair, and I was very nervous, and Grace says, Mom, I believe in you. And then I could cut her hair. And actually, I thought I did pretty good on the back. Anyway, you can check it out at coffee hour. But her comment calmed me. And yesterday, when I was typing up this sermon, Tom, my husband, came into my office, kissed my cheek, said, I'm proud of you, and walked back out. I felt so uplifted and supported. And I'm not telling you this to brag on my family, because believe me, we have plenty of conflicts too. But I want you to consider the ways you can strengthen your existing friendships and build new friendships. Come and see is the best way for someone to meet Jesus. And Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you, Deb. And Christ lives in you, Larry. And Christ lives in you, Sandra. So when they meet you and be with you, it can change them. Get as close as you can to Jesus by prayer, by worshiping, by studying God's word. Ask Jesus to give you his heart for others. Ask him to help you see with eyes of love. Out of that abundant love, make a new friend. And remember, it's not on you. It's the Holy Spirit that draws people to God. But his plan always involves his followers. Like Andrew, like Peter, like me, like you. So remember to live into your status as a beloved son and a beloved daughter of the Most High King, so your new friends will want to come and let's pray. Lord, I thank you first and foremost for our salvation, for your sacrifice for us, that you are God's Lamb that was sacrificed for us. Lord, would you help us not forget the hurting and lonely people in this world, but have eyes to see them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.